You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What's up, friends? Before we hop into the show, I gotta tell you about our friends over at Light Shade Dispensary, where right now they're offering 25% off each and every purchase on all non-sale items by using that code DNVR. Our podcast listeners get that special 25% off by using that code DNVR at any of their 11 Denver metro locations, including their biggest and newest location, Barnum. It's one block off 6th and Federal, and it has specialty products not offered at other stores. So you need to check them out over at Lightshade, any of their 11 locations, and use that code DNVR to get 25% off all non-sale items. All right, fellas, let's hop into the show.
Happy Friday and welcome in to a special edition of Three Ring Circus. And I feel like we have the perfect guest today because, of course, this is a Broncos-themed show. But also, we like to talk, honestly, as much Avs as we can possibly squeeze in
now.
Oh,
yeah, baby.
And so we've got George Stoya, who is not only a Broncos beat writer, but is also doing double duty on the Avs right now. How you doing, George?
I'm busy. Busy, Ryan. It's a good time, though, right? Like, I was thinking about this on the way over here. Like, if you're a Denver sports fan, like, I can't imagine there being a better time than right now. I mean, you've got – I know the Rockies aren't very good. I mean – that's
stadium's still there, though.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, Coors Field is great. It's the summertime, right? You want to be out there. The Broncos, there's a lot of hype, obviously. Russell Wilson, you have the back-to-back MVP in Jokic, and you've got a team up 1-0 in the Stanley Cup final, right? Like, so it's a great time to be a Denver sports fan, which makes it a good time to be a Denver sports writer.
Exactly. And I mean, doesn't just this just remind you of 96, 97, 98, not just because there's two good teams in town, but because it's the Broncos and it's the Avs.
Yeah. And, you know, we keep talking about this, but you mentioned, like, every time that the Broncos are asked about the Avs, they'll make a little comment like, but yeah, this is a Broncos town. Yeah. And we were saying, like, maybe there's some jealousy there. And there had to have been jealousy in 96 when John Elway, who's been to the Super Bowl multiple times, can't get over the hump.
And then, also been in Denver longer than the Avs had been in the city.
Right. The Avs walk into the city. They are the toast of the town. They win the championship. They've got to be, like, parading, especially in the 90s. I'm sure it was way more laid back. Like, they're just walking around town with the Stanley Cup. You know, people are just following them in droves. So hopefully you get the same effect, right?
Well, I think you got to hope, too. Like, if you're – obviously, if you're a Broncos fan, you're probably an Avs fan, right? Like, you're probably jumping on the bandwagon. Like, in my head as, like, the Broncos beat writer is, like, okay, this is, like, the pregame to what should be a great Broncos season. Like, totally. I think the Broncos are on the verge of – I mean, look, you add Russell Wilson, like, you're automatically going to be a quote-unquote Super Bowl contender, and I think they are. And so it's, like – that's what you can look forward to is, like, once the Avs finish this run, whether they win it or not, it's been super exciting. We're, like, a few weeks away from training camp. I mean, it's going to be a quick turnaround. So I think it's, like, that's the way I look at it is, like, it's kind of like the pregame to the big party, which is the Broncos regular season.
This is a hell of a pregame. I love it.
Best pregame I've ever been to. Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this in the past. Usually it's the Rockies you're asking. You're like, please just get us a training camp.
Right.
Which they didn't do this year. Many years they don't.
Nope.
But the Avs picked up the slack this year.
Yeah, they certainly did.
We appreciate them for that. All right, we got a little game here. We are going to talk a little bit more Avs Broncos parallels in the second segment. But on top of Avs and Broncos, your true love is the Oklahoma Sooners. Am I correct in judging that based off of your Twitter feed?
Well, I mean, you know, I grew up in Oklahoma. My dad played football for Oklahoma. My cousin played football for Oklahoma. It's in my blood. I mean,
you really dropped the ball.
Yeah, I know. I'm not the athletic one in the family. But I went to games growing up. So, like, yeah, I was sooner born, sooner bred. When I die, I'm sooner dead, right? So I still follow the team. I covered him in college, obviously. Got to, you know, cover, you know, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, like some of those great teams. Lincoln Riley, who's now obviously at USC. So, yeah, you know, I keep up with it. They're in the College World Series today, the baseball team. I think up 12-4 against A&M. So I'm keeping an eye on that. But yeah, I like Oklahoma. I love the state, too. It's just a good state. It gets a bad rap because it's Oklahoma, and there's not a whole lot to do there. I admit that. But it is a great state with great people.
Well, and in the third segment, we're going to have the great college town draft, and maybe an Oklahoma want to show up in there.
Maybe. I love Norman. Stillwater's a cool cool college town there for Oklahoma State, but
don't be giving
I don't
away
know.
Your draft board.
I, right I don't now. Know. I don't know if they'll be on my draft board.
Interesting tease. All right, so we usually like to pick like something that's a part of our guest's brand and build it into our first segment. So this segment, while not actually directly related to Oklahoma, is called Sooner or Later. So we're going to ask you some Broncos questions, and you can define sooner or later however you see fit, but that's how you're going to answer, sooner or later. Zach, you want to take us through this?
And let's jump into our first one. Sooner or later, Jerry Jeudy will be a Pro Bowler.
Sooner. I think Jerry is on the verge of having a breakout year. And I thought that last year, and I still think if he doesn't get hurt in that opening game, that he was on pace to have a really good season. And that's with, you know, Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Locke being quarterback. I think Russell Wilson's going to unlock a different level and potential of Jerry. And I know he's had the off-the-field stuff that went on this, but I'm not too concerned about that after everything that's come out. But what we've seen in training camp, and Zach, you've been there, like, or I guess mini camp and OTAs, but even going back to training camp last year, it's like this dude can be incredible, right? Yeah. Like his route running is next level. And so I just think that with Russell Wilson, he's a guy that I think could have a huge year. So I'm going to say sooner. I think it happens in the next couple seasons.
I love that. And so my question was actually going to be a little further than that. If it doesn't happen this year, is Jerry pretty much is the book written on him? If he's just never going to get there?
You know, maybe. The other part, too, of this that like I should have mentioned, there's so many great wide receivers and only so many are selected for the Pro Bowl. So it's so hard to get picked. I know Cortland got it a few years ago. But I do think if he doesn't get it this year, some people will wonder. But I mean, it's also like he could have like a 1,000-yard season and still miss the Pro Bowl, right? And if he has a 1,000-yard season and let's say 6 touchdowns or something like that, that's a great season for Jerry, right? So I don't think we should like have to define him by if he doesn't get a Pro Bowl season, it's a disappointment, because there are so many guys out there that also just get nods because of, you know, their name, you know, quite honestly. So. But I do think there'll be a lot more eyes on him this year, too, that should help him with Russell Wilson.
It's so interesting with Jerry because, you know, I don't know if you saw this last night, but I tweeted out the comp between Andrew Wiggins and Valanciunas. And I was like, these are two guys who were very high draft picks, had such high expectations, both got labeled busts, and then end up going to like really stable organizations where they just say like, hey, you don't have to be the guy here. Just do what you do well and do it really well. And both of those guys are, you know, thriving, and Wiggins has got a ring now, and hopefully Nuke gets one soon. And I'm kind of seeing that for Jerry Jeudy. The only difference is he's not having to change organizations here. He's just changing quarterbacks. You know, when you look around at some of the other guys in his draft class, Ruggs, who was balling out before, obviously, all that stuff. Justin Jefferson.
CeeDee Lamb.
CeeDee Lamb.
Oklahoma.
What do all of those guys have in common? They were playing with real quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You know, Dak Prescott, Derek Carr, even Kirk Cousins, we know he can rack up stats. So that's the biggest difference for me between those guys and Jerry Jeudy to this point. Now, Jerry's got to dial it in, got to get his head on straight a little bit more, got to mature a bit. But I'm kind of seeing a little parallel there where it's like maybe the rest of the NFL world is going to be shocked if Jerry Jeudy goes off this year. I think people in Denver won't be.
And that's why I think this year, I don't think it's Pro Bowl or bust. I completely agree with you, George. But if we don't see Jerry Jeudy live up to that first round pick this year, Well, he has that stability now. He has that quarterback now. And if he doesn't live up to it now, then I think my expectations, at least, will be very tempered after this year. But it does not have to be Pro Bowl or bust. In fact, to your point, Georgie, you mentioned Cortland Sutton's Pro Bowl year. I believe he was like the 17th leading receiver in the NFL that year. He was way down on the list for a Pro Bowler.
Yep. Well, I mean, you get so many guys for each side, and then so many guys who don't go, the guys who are in the Super Bowl. So, and Jose in the comments says 26 players out of 1,000 receiving yards last
Oof,
year.
Man.
Yeah. If Jerry Jeudy's a top 30 receiver in the NFL this year, I think that's a good thing. Like, it shows you he definitely ramped up.
Well, there's just so many, in today's game, you see all these wide receivers. Like, wasn't there, like, a record breaking number of wide receivers taken in this year's draft? Like, it's so stacked at that position that, like, if Jerry has like a bad season, he is replaceable. You can go find a good wide receiver in every single draft. So I think that that's part of it. Like you said, Ryan, like, if he's a top 30 wide receiver, that's a really good year. Like, because there's just so many good wide receivers in the league.
And you expect both Tim and Cortland to probably be in the top 30 as well.
Yep, exactly. And Russ should be able to provide them all the ball enough. All right, let's get to the next one. Sooner or later, George, Broncos beat the Chiefs. It's been 13 times since they've won.
Sooner. I think they do it this year. Mm-hmm. I think this is the year. I thought last year was the year. I thought they were going to win one of those games, but they didn't. They were close. Was it which one was it that they had the big fumble return? Was that the one here in Denver that Kansas City had the big fumble return?
Yep.
That was a close game. I think they get it done this year. I do. I think that when you look at the way the schedule lines up, I think they get them on, is it Sunday Night Football here in Denver?
Yep, and that's the first matchup.
I think that's the one they win. I do. I think when you look at what the Chiefs have lost this year, I know they're still going to be a really good football team, but I do think losing Tyreek Hill is going to hurt that football team. And then you look at what the Broncos have added. I think that it's going to line up in a way that I think they can win that football game.
I think you nailed every single point. And the only thing I want to emphasize, because I think it was spot on, was that the Broncos have actually been close with the Chiefs a couple games in the past few years. Now, the Chiefs have also blown them out a couple of times. But the Broncos have been close with Drew Lock, Teddy Bridgewater, Vic Fangio. Those guys, they took a massive step at the most important position in sports. Them being that close with them, the huge jump they took at quarterback, it really should happen this year.
One thing I hope that Ejiro Evero takes from those matchups, I hope he goes back and looks at those and says, hey, what did Vic Fangio do so well in these? Because Vic had some really good performances against the Chiefs in terms of defensive play calling, and the personnel that Evero is going to be working with is pretty similar. So I hope that he goes back and says, hey, what can we take from this? Because we know that Evero wants to be more aggressive. Well, we've seen that that's not always the best thing to do against Pat Mahomes. Now, you know, the Bengals also did the number one thing that you weren't supposed to do against Mahomes and beat him with it. So, you know, you can catch him off guard, I guess, but I do hope they go back and look at that, because a lot of times Vic did enough on his side of the ball to give the Broncos a chance.
Now you have a quarterback. That should change it all. All right, sooner or later, the Broncos win the AFC West.
I'm going to have to go later. And I don't think it's look, you want to win the division, right? But you're playing in the toughest division in I don't even think just the NFL, maybe in all of professional sports. Like, it's that difficult. And like, when you look at what the Chargers have, obviously the Chiefs we just talked about, I think they're going to be really good. The Chargers, I think, are a playoff team. The Raiders, they made the playoffs last year and they just added Devontae Adams and Chandler Jones. Like, they're going to, like, as much as Broncos fans don't want to hear it, the Raiders are going to be good. Like, they're going to be probably a playoff team again. So I just think it's going to be really hard to win it. Now, I saw a lot of people, like a lot of national media, are picking them to finish, I think, fourth. I don't see that happening. I think they're finishing second or third. But again, it's going to be so tough, right? Like, you could go 11-6 next year and finish third in the division. Yep. And so I just don't see them winning it just yet. But I mean, I guess it depends on your definition of sooner or later, right? Like, I don't think they're going to win it next year, but like in 2 or 3 or 4 years, then I do think so, because they're going to be able to add some pieces. Russell's going to settle in. Hackett's offense is going to be known. I think you're going to see some struggles early in the year from this team in terms of the offense, and then they'll find their groove. But I just think that next year, definitely not. I don't think so.
Okay, Broncos are going to be second or third in the division. Who's first? Who's winning this division?
As much as I just picked the Broncos to beat the Chiefs, I'm going to roll with the Chiefs until they don't win the division, right? Like, that's my theory. Is like, until they don't win the AFC West, I'm just going to keep picking them. Because it looked like, right, last year, they were really struggling early in the year. Everybody's like, oh, the division's wide open. Somebody else can win. And what do? They go on and they win it and obviously, you know, have the run. Did they get to the AFC Championship game last year? Was that it? I can't remember.
Yes. Yeah,
I lost to the Bengals. Yep. So, I mean, look, they're still going to be really good. They have Patrick Mahomes, who's, in my opinion, the best quarterback in the world. Like, they're going to be tough to beat.
The predicting the AFC West is just so crazy. It's such a fool's errand. I mean, legitimately, every single combination is possible. The Chiefs could be first. They could also be last.
Yeah.
And, like, the pressure to me is on them compared to all the other teams. You know, all these other teams are the challengers. Most of the pressure is on the Chiefs. They have this window that they created with Patrick Mahomes where everyone thought, oh, they could have a dynasty. And now it's already start. The pieces are already starting to fall off, and they've got one, you know. So they have a lot of pressure on them, but every single combination is possible in the AFC West.
And I think the trading Tyreek Hill away from the Chiefs, that was the boldest move made inside this division. I don't think the Raiders trading for Davante Adams was bold. I don't think the Broncos trading for Russell Wilson was bold at all. I mean, getting a Hall of Fame quarterback, that's some bold. Trading away the most dangerous player in the NFL, in my opinion.
Emphasis on dangerous.
That's bold. Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, I mean, I just, look, the Chiefs are going to be good. They're going to make the playoffs. But it is going to be interesting to see how they adjust to not having him. Because think back to that game against Buffalo, that playoff game.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill single-handedly, like, won them that football game multiple times. Yeah. Like, and what do you do when you don't have that guy? And I know they've gone out and got a couple pieces that they think can maybe fill that role, but there's no like replacing a player like Tyreek Hill.
Nope, 100%, 100%. All right, sooner or later.
Is that what it?
Nope. Oh. Broncos win what?
The Broncos win
the Super Bowl.
Oh, the Broncos won a game, I guess.
sooner. I take sooner.
I'm going to say it's Broncos win the Super Bowl.
Yes, that's what it was.
Again.
And let's call this, like, soon is in the next 3 years.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, look, do I think the Broncos will be a Super Bowl contender in the next 3 years? Yes. But the reality of winning a Super Bowl is so difficult. I mean, we saw it this last year, the run that the Bengals went on. That can happen to anybody. I mean, the Broncos could go on a run next year and play in a Super Bowl, right? I'm going to say later just because the odds of them winning a Super Bowl in the next 3 years, any team, is just low. But I do think that they're going to have it. Like, it's the same question as the AFC West, right? It's like, if the Broncos win the AFC West next year, no one would be surprised, right? No. If the Broncos go and win the Super Bowl in the next 3 years, no one would be surprised when you look at the talent on that roster. But I'm just going to err on the side of caution and say later. So, like, you know, freezing cold takes doesn't come after me when I say the Broncos are going to win the Super Bowl next year. But yeah, I'll say later. But again, when you have Russell Wilson, you have a player like that, you're going to be a Super Bowl contender as long as he's here.
There we go. I like it.
What do you think the odds would be at DraftKings if you got Broncos to win the Super Bowl in the next 3 years? What are they to win it next year?
They are
plus 900 or something.
I think so. Right around.
I like this odds.
So you get you're getting three chances at it. It's going to be like around plus 300, plus 250.
Yep, probably.
That would be an interesting bet.
It really would be. And it's a parlay of three seasons. Or no, it's a teaser of three seasons, I guess.
Yeah, we call them or bets on the bet show. Mm-hmm. Like, you get multiple chances at
right,
it.
Right, right, right. That'd be interesting. All right, we have three different ones, three player ones coming your way now. Sooner or later, Russell Wilson is the MVP. I mean, we could even just start with Russell Wilson gets an MVP vote for the first time in his career.
He's never had an MVP vote.
Never had a single.
Well, then I'm going to say later that he wins the MVP. But that's crazy to me. I did not actually know that. I feel dumb for not knowing that. But I'll say later because, look, like the Super Bowl, it's incredibly hard to win the MVP, especially when you have someone like Aaron Rodgers who they just keep giving it to him. And I'm sure they'll try to give it to him again next year. And it's just a really difficult award to win. So I would say later. And also, I mean, again, you have Patrick Mahomes is, how old is he? Like 20 something years old.
Yep.
He's going to be a favorite to win it every single year. You've got a lot of young, you know, quarterbacks. Herbert, I think, is going to be in that conversation. Davante Adams, like I mean, it's hard for not a quarterback to win it anymore, but I just think that there's so many other guys that will probably get that nod, even though I will say maybe his best shot is to win it this next year, because there's going to be so many eyes on him. Yeah, the narrative. Yep. I mean, I think that he has a good chance next year, but I'll say later.
And what changed for Aaron Rodgers right before he started winning MVPs? Nathaniel Hackett showed up. So he's at least, we know Nathaniel Hackett's going to let Russ cook.
Yes, he absolutely is. And I love that. And two quick things. Russell Wilson has the 7th best odds over at DraftKings to be the MVP with plus 1,400. The Broncos plus 1,600 to win the Super Bowl this year. So even better odds.
So maybe like plus 400 or plus 500 to get one in the next 2 years.
Yeah, cut it in half twice. Yeah, I like that. All right, next one. Sooner or later, the Broncos, Bradley Chubb gets a new contract.
I think sooner. I think all indications are that they really want to sign him, barring a just disaster of a year or a major injury, which either of those are possible, right? Like we've seen Bradley deal with, you know, injuries before, and obviously didn't have a super productive season when he did play last year. But I do think the Broncos, like, they're trying to find a reason not to sign him, right? Like they want to keep him. They need pass rushers. George Payton has talked about how important that position is. So unless Bradley gets, you know, another really bad injury and can't play, or he goes out and he's just not very good, which I just don't believe. Like if he's healthy, he's one of the best edge rushers in the league. So I think it's going to happen. I think it's something they try to get done, you know, maybe even during the season if he shows some good signs early in the year.
Okay, so 10 weeks into the season, George, Bradley Chubb has 8 sacks. He's looking like he's on fire, and his agent says 5 years, $100 million, $70 million guaranteed. George, this is your one. George and George Payton, this is our only offer we're going to negotiate.
That's tough. That's a lot of money, man. And that's a long time too. Mm-hmm.
They'll present it as 20 mil. That's a discount.
You said
in today's market.
Week 10, 8 sacks.
Yep. Almost a sack a game. He's looking great.
You'd almost have to take it because like I said, the problem is edge rushers, the price that they're going for these days, you're going to have to pay up. Like if they pass on, you know, keeping Bradley, they're going to have to go out and get somebody, right? Cuz like as much as I believe Nick Benito is going to be a good player.
Of course you do.
Yeah. Like, but he's not going to be, I don't think he's going to be a superstar, right? And you need a superstar. And Randy Gregory, I think, is a good player, and I like that signing, but he's also dealt with injuries. So, like, if you're not going to keep a guy like Bradley and he's having that type of year, you've got to say, well, what else are your options out there? And you're going to have to pay somebody a lot of money. So I'd almost say you almost have to take it.
My question would be, how many sacks does Nick Benito have? Does he have 4? Because even if he has 4, then I think the Broncos could talk themselves into, let's just pass the torch on.
And if those two things happen, Randy Gregory's sack number is probably pretty low. And then they're saying, okay, well, now Randy's not our future. Chubb's our future with Benito. The Broncos have a very interesting problem. One that could be a great problem by having too many good pass rushers, or one that could be going into next year. Bradley got injured, touch on wood. Randy Gregory still hasn't had a double-digit sack season, and Nick Benito still needs time. I mean, that position is the floor is pretty low, and the ceiling is super high.
When what does Baron Browning look like?
Right.
True. I mean, that's the wild card in all of this, you know?
And there are some crazy praise for Baron Browning, the edge rusher, coming out of that building right now.
Yeah.
In front of the cameras and behind the cameras, just in terms of, he's getting compared to Von Miller and like all sorts. Yeah. It's like, whoa.
Wait a second.
I thought he was an inside linebacker.
I know. But it also goes to just take Ohio State front 7 players. Just keep stacking them.
Pretty good. Draymond Jones looks good. All right, let's get to our last one right now. Sooner or later, Pat Surtain, Defensive Player of the Year.
That's such a hard award to win.
It really is.
Especially at corner. Like, you have to have the type of year like Diggs had for the Cowboys. Did he win it last year?
Nope.
So he didn't even win it.
Yeah,
and
last DB was, I think, Stephon Gilmore in 18 or 19.
Yeah, that so.
Right.
One in the last, like, 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to go later because it's almost always given to an edge guy, right? I think it was TJ Watt that won it last year, right?
And it was.
And Diggs had one of the greatest years that a corner's ever had in terms of, you know, interceptions. And those sorts of things. So as good as I think he is, and he probably is worthy of that award at some point in his career, and I think he's a guy that's going to make a Pro Bowl, you know, all pro, all those sorts of things. It's just going to be really hard for a corner to ever win that award. And I, to this day, I think other than maybe quarterback, it's maybe the most difficult position to play because it's so hard to cover these guys these days and the routes and everything that goes into it. I think he's a great player, but I just, that's such a hard award to win.
Well, it's very fair. And we have someone in the comment section saying, Jason says, did Champ Bailey ever get defensive player of the year? And even the year where he had double digit interceptions and was just a monster, so many pick sixes. No, he did not get it.
Has a Bronco ever won defensive player of the year?
Von Miller has not.
Didn't get one.
I don't think so.
I mean, I don't know how Atwater long it goes never back. Did, did he? Yeah, no. No, I don't think so.
Wow.
Maybe like Mac.
That's fascinating.
Randy Gratishar.
Right.
Yeah. I have no idea.
Way back in the day. And we're about to get into some hockey talk, but if you want to win $100 in free bets over at DraftKings Sportsbook, place a $5 money line bet on either the Avs or the Lightning. Just place the bet on the Avs. Tomorrow night's game, you get $100 in your account over at DraftKings Sportsbook and free bets. And man, you can use that the rest of the series. DraftKings was very kind to me last night with the Warriors winning. Some people are calling it blood money, but... Hey, I thought it was. I thought
you
it
might
was
as
good
well be
bets.
Playing on the live tour, bro.
I got him at +900 before the playoffs. Like I bet on them +900 to win it all.
Man, so. I got him at +450, and I thought that was a steal.
That's a good steal.
+900.
Well, and I had the parlay I gave out on this show. I said Avs in six or less against the
last series.
Yeah, against the Oilers. And Warriors in six or less against the against the Celtics. So that hit at like +400.
Hell nice. Yeah, there we go. We're all winning money over at DraftKings Sportsbook. And so when you sign up, make sure to use that code DNVR. And of course, you must be 21 or older, Colorado only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
I also had like a +1200 SGP hit last night.
Nice.
Thank you to the Warriors. I'll take the blood money all day.
I smashed the Warriors early when they were down and they were +295. Damn. I'm like, you got to be kidding. Me Warriors are coming back.
Love it. The only way to celebrate a big betting win like that is with some Breck Brews. And it is a Breck Brew Friday today. It is what, like 95 degrees
out?
Oh
my gosh, I think it could hit 100.
Could hit 100.
It's Oklahoma heat out there.
I know, man. It's brutal.
Only way to quench your thirst properly is with a strawberry sky today. Like, you know, you might want a Gatorade mix in a water, but strawberry sky on a day like today hits so different. So check out our friends over at Breckenridge Brewery. Especially if you're coming down here for the Avs game tomorrow night, which should be electric. Come get some Breck Brews here, or, you know, just have them at your house. Use the Breck Brew locator to find out where the nearest ones are to you.
And George, we got to get you to the bar, but we can't get you to the bar during one of these Avs games because you are grinding.
I'm busy,
at
man.
That stadium. You said you're going out to Tampa too, right?
I am. I also wanted to say the atmosphere at Ball Arena is right up there as like one of the best I've ever been a part of in sports. Like, I've been to the Rose Bowl when OU played Georgia in 2017, which I don't know if you remember that game, but it was a wild game, like triple overtime or something. And it's up there with those type of atmospheres, and it was just incredible, electric. And I'm sure it'll be great in Tampa too. I mean, they've been there the last few years, so it's been great, man.
I was
it's
looking
awesome.
Though, you could probably for the price of one ticket to game two get a flight to Tampa and a ticket to game three.
Yeah. Is game two more expensive than game one because it's a Saturday?
Slightly more, yeah. Well, I mean, the original prices that, you know, caught everyone's eyes was that, you know, the people buy those tickets, they put them on the secondary market, and they put them at crazy prices because they're just like, well, I'll just lower it as time goes.
Right.
So right now it's about like $700 to get in the door, but it's like $350 to get in Tampa.
Wow, you could get a flight down there.
Yep.
Now, you have a long travel day, though, right?
Yeah. I leave early Sunday morning, like 6 a.m., which is going to be brutal. But
like 10 hours after the game ends.
Yes. But then I'll get to be on the beach the rest of the day. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
By the way, do you have a lot of space up there to stretch out? Because I feel like they did not fill that media area.
No. I mean, well, and they – so it was interesting because they have all those auxiliary seats up there.
Yeah.
And, like – half of them were not even like, no one was sitting in them. So I was like, what are we doing? And I wonder if it was because there was a lot of people obviously that are like TV people and they have like cameras and stuff. And so I think they gave them seats even though they were like down by the ice doing video. And so I think that's what might have happened. But it was odd because like when I first saw it, I was like, oh my gosh, we're going to be squeezed, you know, in up there. But it was pretty wide open.
I mean, I know. I was looking up there being like, man, there are so many people out there in that field at Metro that would kill to be in one of those seats right now.
Well, and you also have to think the Kroenkes were like, look at all this money that's wasted now.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't think people care about the Kroenkes money, though.
We really don't. I just want to, I was thinking like maybe they need to take one of those sections out. There's clearly enough room.
Yeah. Wonder if they'll do that tomorrow.
I don't know. We'll see.
I could get my credential pulled. I'm going to wake up. And they're like, Ryan said you don't need to be
there. He said you can go to the bar and watch it from there. We'll bring you in for interviews after.
Well, we're talking about the Avs already. And since you're the Avs expert now.
I wouldn't say that.
We wanted to talk about what can the Broncos learn from the Avs, maybe this season, but also beyond this season as well.
You know, I think that the biggest thing that you see with the Avalanche is that this has taken time, obviously, when you look at the way that Joe Sakic has built this team and bringing in guys even this year that are veterans that maybe not the best players in the world, but have done, you know, a really good job of contributing on this team. And so I think everyone on the Avalanche knows their role, right? Like when you look at that top line of MacKinnon, Landeskog, Nichushkin, you know, Mikko Rantanen's on that second line. All those guys are obviously superstars, and they're going to score their goals, and they're going to make big plays. But when you look at the bottom six, right, Darren Helm, Logan O'Connor, Andrew Cogliano, like those guys have come in, and they know their role, and they're scrappy players, and they get in, and they're, maybe they're not on the ice as much as those guys, but they know their role, and they don't over-contribute, if that makes sense. Like they don't try to be the heroes, right? And they keep finding themselves in this position where they're scoring the game winners, right? Like you look at Darren Helm in the Blues series, or you know, Cogliano has scored a few goals. You know, Lehkonen has been amazing. And so I think if you're the Broncos, or really, I mean, any team, is like, know your role on the team and don't try to be a superstar if you're not that guy. I mean, I know that's like a harsh reality, but know your role. And if everybody knows their role, I think that you see that all the time on championship winning teams is everybody from the number one player to number 53 on the roster knows their role on the team. And I think Jared Bednar, you know, deserves a ton of credit for that too. I know that he's, you know, kind of, you know, been criticized, you know, previous years because they've fallen short in the second rounds, but he's, you know, stayed the course. He's believed in his guys and he's believed in his system. And I think that that's something Hackett can come in and kind of realize. I mean, was Bednar's first year the year that they were so
48 points.
48 points, yep. And he stayed the course. And I'm not saying the Broncos are going to be that bad next year, but I'm sure there's going to be some bumps in the road. And if Hackett really believes in a system, he needs to stick to it and stick to those beliefs. So that to me is what you take away from a championship winning team like the Avalanche is, you know, everybody know their role and stick to you to what you believe in as a coach and in your system, in your organization.
And I think it's such a great point. My biggest takeaway is just one part of what you said, and it's something that people probably don't want to hear, but it's that this could take a couple of years in order for it to play out. Now, it's not going to be the 48-point season, which is equivalent to like a two-win season in the NFL. We know it's not going to be that. Exactly. But you look at all the talent that the Avs have, but it didn't just happen like it's kind of happening with the Broncos now where Russell Wilson comes in. They didn't just land Nathan MacKinnon and then everything started clicking. Now, it's going to happen a lot quicker with the Broncos, but we also have this conversation where we say, well, look at the past two Super Bowl winners. It was teams with first-year quarterbacks. The Broncos can hit the ground running. They certainly can, and I think they're going to be a double-digit win season, and they could certainly win the Super Bowl. That's why DraftKings has them in the top 10 of Super Bowl odds. But also, it's not a disappointment if it's a build, where this year it's make the playoffs, next year it's win a playoff game, and then the following year it's get to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. And just with the way the NFL has been the last couple of years, I think there's going to be a little added pressure, especially when the Broncos get to the playoffs this year. People are then going to change their mindset and say, this is Super Bowl or bust. When no. It can be a process, and that's okay.
For me, it's the importance of continuity. You look at how long Bednar's been there and how long Sakic has been there, and they, from year one, committed to creating a certain type of team. It's obvious to us to look that that's a lot of it is speed. Like, they, you know, there's like, we want to be the fastest team in the NHL. But when you have a system for this long, it's so easy to look at guys around the league and being like, oh, well, that guy fits what we do. You know, Nichushkin is a perfect example of a guy that they're like, okay, well, he was the number 10 overall pick, but we don't need him to be that. We just need him to, you know, be fast to the puck, go play on the forecheck, be tough, and, you know, go chase after pucks in front of the net. And because you've been taking this long to build this system, now it's just like you do it with your eyes closed. Even the Nuggets are a decent example of this as well. Like, you know, they committed to a certain way of playing, and now, like, you see Tim Connelly was hitting on all these late first round picks. It's because it's just like, well, yeah, we know that guy can do what we need him to do. We're not going to ask him to do much more than that. So to me, that is something that the Broncos are going to have. It's going to take a while before you can possibly have it. But we talk about this a lot, Zach, in football. When you're constantly changing offensive coordinators, you're constantly undermining things you did previously. You know, you draft Dalton Risner to play in this current scheme that they're about to play in. Then you switch it. Then he has two down years, and you're like, what happened to this guy? It's like, well, you changed the offense from he was a fit for it to he was not a fit for it. So got to have this system continuity. You have to commit to Nathaniel Hackett, commit to George Payton, and say, hey, we're here to let you guys build this thing the way you want it.
Well, and that's why it was so huge that they went offense this time, because they can't have their offensive coordinator get hired away. And they could with Justin Otten, but the real offensive coordinator is Nathaniel Hackett.
Yep.
And he's not going anywhere. And, George, you mentioned the superstars. How many superstars do the Broncos have?
Well, Russell, I would say Justin Simmons is a superstar.
Okay.
Pat Surtain on the edge of superstardom.
Yep. I mean, would even feel comfortable projecting that he's a superstar this year.
Jerry Judy's not one yet, but I think will be.
So are we kind of on two, three superstars now?
And somewhere then like that.
How many could be?
Javonte, I think, could be a superstar.
Yep.
Cortland.
That's probably it. Bradley Chubb could be a superstar.
Yep.
Draymond's
in. I mean, like, he would have to have a huge year, but I mean, he.
Yeah, he'd probably be in that third tier of could be, but could not be. Actually could happen.
Yep.
Here's one that's, I think he has the potential, and he's shown it a couple times, is Garrett Bowles. Like, he could end up being, like, he's been up and down in his career, obviously, probably even more downs than up, especially early in his career. But like, if he can end up being one of the top left tackles in the league, then I think that's a superstar. Like, you look at Trent Williams in San Francisco, he's a superstar. Yeah. So if Garrett can get to that level, I don't know if he can, but he could. I mean, I would throw him maybe in that third or fourth tier.
Yeah, there's probably like 10 offensive linemen that the average NFL player or average NFL fan can say by name. So if you're one of those top like that, you're definitely a superstar.
Yeah, exactly. Quentin Nelson.
Right.
Superstar. Yeah. He was a superstar before he was even drafted.
Yeah.
Quinn Miners, the belly. He's a superstar with the belly.
In our hearts, at least.
Yeah.
He's in that third tier.
Yeah.
If he has a great year, he
had so many highlights, you know, highlight play. Like, if he can do that, you know, constantly, then maybe he could be a superstar. I don't know.
I saw someone the other day projecting, like a fantasy guy, saying that he would take Javonte Williams as the number one overall running back.
Woo, man. If you're talking, I was going to say, if you're talking dynasty, maybe, but not even.
I know.
Because for fantasy, it's all about numbers, and it's going to be a split backfield. And what's the backfield going to look like, George?
That's the question. Like, if you're going to take Javonte number one in fantasy, then you better hope that they're not going to split carries like they did last year with Melvin.
They're totally
going
to.
They're definitely going to. And like, the other thing too, I don't know if they're going to do this again this year, but like, they liked giving Melvin the ball in like goal to go situations. Yep. So like, he's going to be the one scoring touchdowns maybe too. So it's like, while I think Javonte is fantastic, I don't know if he's, you know, the number one pick in fantasy. And I do think he'll be the starter.
Melvin's been legitimately one of the best red zone running backs since he entered the league. So he's going to get opportunities down there.
And just what's so crazy, I agree with you, George. I think Javonte will be the starter. But Melvin's been in legit backfield competitions the past 4 years against Austin Ekeler, Philip Lindsay, Javonte Williams. And he has come out on top every single time in terms of starts, in terms of carries, although he was tied with Javonte last year, in terms of yards, in terms of everything. Melvin just knows a way to get on
the
field.
He's consistent. We've talked about this a lot, but it's like, Javonte would have 40-yard runs where he broke six tackles, and then he'd run into the back of an offensive lineman on the next play, where it's like, Melvin's just like 4 yards, 4 yards, 4 yards, 4 yards.
Yep. And he's a good player. Coaches love consistency.
Yep.
They love it. And something we love is our friends over at Green Mountain Dental, where if you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam, you'll get a free Sonicare toothbrush. George, I know you're new in town. If you need a dentist.
I do need a dentist,
Green Mountain Dental. There you go. Schedule a cleaning, x-ray. I wasn't saying it because you're teeth. Your teeth look great. It wasn't a shot there. But if you schedule a cleaning x-ray exam, you'll get a free Sonicare toothbrush. So check them out. They're part of our family. They've been with us for a long time. And you guys know supporting partners is supporting us.
There you go. They probably read your abs and Bronco stuff over at Green Mountain Dental. Yeah. Big Denver sports fans. All right. What was your point on how many superstars that the Broncos have versus how many point that how many the Avs have?
No. It wasn't a point against how many the Avs have. But if you look at the Avs and compare it with the Broncos, the Avs have, if you talk about superstars,
they have two of the five best players in hockey.
That's what I'm saying. Superstars, two of them. Broncos, they could have two of them in.
Someone today was saying the Broncos might not even have a single player who's top five at their position in the league.
Well,
and Russ would be the one that you would have to argue for.
I think.
And Justin.
I think Justin is a top five safety. Yeah. I thought he was robbed last year of an all pro.
Yeah.
I think if you're talking top five, I think Pat Surtain.
Yeah.
Although I agree.
So you have three players that you can make the argument for.
Yes, exactly. I think quarterback, though, it's just the toughest. Not because Russ, it's just because of how many good quarterbacks there are. No, like when we look at this list, and DraftKings has Josh Allen number one for MVP odds, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Aaron Rodgers, Joe Burrow, and then Russell Wilson, you could make an argument.
Russ could easily slide in there.
But then he could also probably... I actually don't think he could slide back much. But Chris Sims, he put out his top quarterback rankings this week. Guess where he had Tom Brady? Tom Brady.
Uh-oh. It's got to be low based on the way you said it. I'm going to say 9.
I saw the list. I don't remember where, but I don't even know if it was top 10, was it?
It was 8. He was 8. Yeah, you know like where right Russell Wilson was? Yeah.
He's like
7.
7. Yeah. One spot above Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers, the back-to-back MVP who has shown no signs of slowdown. Number 5.
Interesting. I mean, he's pretty good with quarterbacks.
He is really good with quarterbacks. But so what I say by that is saying he's outside of the top 5 is not saying he's like, that's not a bad thing.
No. It's going to be really interesting to see how quarterbacks stack up this year. And as NFL fans, we're really lucky because I think the quarterback situation in the league is as good as it's ever been.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And it's fun and dynamic.
Yeah. Was it like Drew Locke and Teddy Bridgewater, like 38 and 40?
Probably.
I don't know if we say those names on this podcast, but I'm pretty sure they were like second and last.
Who's in who's in Seattle with Drew? Why can't I?
Geno,
was he in the top 32?
He was higher than Drew, but I don't think he was in the top 32. He was like 35 maybe, and like Drew was like 38.
Man, I respect the hell out of what Seattle's doing. They're going full in to the tank. Now, I would have never traded Russell Wilson, but I respect that they didn't draft Malik Willis end of the second round when he was there. They just said, we're going to be bad, and we're going to get a top pick.
Well, the quarterback class next year is really good when you look at, I think it's Bryce Young, and then the kid out of Ohio State, Stroud. He's really good. So,
any Oklahoma guys?
Well, I do you count Spencer Rattler, who's now at South Carolina?
Oh,
he was supposed to be the number one overall this last year,
or Caleb Williams.
He's really good in our Madden.
Well, he's got two more years, Caleb Williams, because he was only a true freshman last year.
Right,
but he'll be really. He'll be a top pick. Yeah. I would assume.
Yeah. Or do we not speak his name around?
Well, no, we do. He's just a kid. He's making decisions. It was all good.
Getting paid a lot of money. Yeah. Probably
he also had like one of the greatest performances in like OU football history against Texas this last year. We came in like let him back from like 28 down or whatever.
Yeah.
So you can't hate the kid, you know.
Yeah.
Lincoln though, I don't know.
Well, I mean, I'm a Buffs fan, so I hate Lincoln Riley.
I thought you were going to say you hate Lincoln, Nebraska.
Oh, I do.
Or is that your number one pick in the great college town draft?
Wouldn't even make my top
100. Yeah, I was about to say, I don't know about that.
Right, something speaking
that of. You guys could, I could be the handshake emoji in the middle of, Ryan, George, something they hate, Lincoln, Nebraska.
That is true. we have that in common. I have had a good time. I did have a good time there, and I was annoyed by how nice their fans were.
Wow.
The Nebraska fans?
Yeah.
Yeah, they are nice.
I wouldn't have thought that.
I wouldn't have either.
Well, I think they're just more bitter about their own program than, like, they're not, like, mad at the other teams beating them. They're just like, our program is horrible, and so it's just like, at least right now, Obviously it was one of the greatest ever before that, but like I think they're more bitter about that, but like they're nice people. It's Nebraska. I mean, it's just Nebraska.
So. I literally showed up, went to the first bar, like decked out in Buffs gear, definitely looking just, you know, just to chirp around a little bit
after a win.
No, this was before the game. This was on the Friday night before. I always make the mistake of drinking way too much the Friday night before the game. And the first, like, I get to the bar and like three people are like, "Hey, welcome to town. Can we get you a drink?" I'm like, "This has got to be a joke. Like, poison me or something." Right, and that was just like the entire weekend. Wow. Was that
Ryan doesn't come back the next day.
Maybe I was poisoned. I thought I just drank too much.
Shall we hop into the college town draft? The great college town draft. George, we do a snake draft. So one, then pick six, two or three, picks four. Where, what position do you want to be?
I'll go any position because I think I have some college towns on my list that you guys aren't ready for.
Well, you know what? You'll pick any, then you'll go first.
Go first, yeah.
I'm taking Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Whoa.
Wow, that was not on my
number one overall.
Number one overall. Have you ever been to Fayetteville?
No. So you're going to have to sell us here.
One, if you don't know this, that is where the Waltons, I believe, reside, the new owners of the Broncos. So that was one reason. But also, Fayetteville, Arkansas, I have never had a bad time there. There's a street there. I can't remember the name of it, but it's incredible. Baker Mayfield was arrested there one time because he had a little bit too much to drink. It's a hell of a time. It's one incredible city. The people there are great. As you know, the Walmart money has made that city just beautiful. And so it's a great party town. The students are great. It's close to home for me, so that's another reason. But Fayetteville, Arkansas is incredible. I think it's one of the most underrated college towns in all of America.
Man, speaking Love of, that. I mean, that would have got plus 100,000 odds over at DraftKings Sportsbook to be the first pick. That is impressive.
I like it. He's staying true to his board.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotta respect it. Yep. All right, well, I'm going to stay true to my board. I've been to many, many college towns around the country, and none of them live up to Boulder.
Yep, I was hoping to be able to go ahead of you to be able to steal this from you, but of course it was going to be your number one overall pick. And I think a town that a lot of people associate...
Real quick, I just got to say this. I've yet to be to a college town that isn't dope. And maybe it's because I grew up in a college town that I just have a soft spot for them. Like, I love the rinky-dink bars and like just little things that you could only see there. Like, everything's named after the mascot or whatever. Like, I just love it. Every time I go to a college town, I'm like, this place is great. I bet these kids are having a blast.
And I'm the complete opposite. Not that I've been to every college town that I hate. I just haven't been exposed to tons of college
towns.
This
is Zach in every draft. He's like, I have no experience eating food, but...
Growing up in Denver, going to the University of Denver, that's why DU is my first. I'm not going there. I'm going a place that a lot of people say is like Boulder, and I've only heard good things, Ann Arbor.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a really good one.
Never been, though.
Oh, it's good pick? It's fantastic. Okay. Yeah, I've been there.
I've been as well.
It was on my list.
It was good. One thing that I was surprised, I used to have a take that every college is a party school. Michigan left a little bit to be desired.
Really? I feel like that's up there on the boards.
Like, we were out at the bars Friday night again before the game. And like, I felt like the Michigan fans were disgusted by the amount in which we were drinking. Like, they were just like, because we were just like taking shots and singing the fight song like every 5 minutes. And they were just like looking over at us with their, you know, down their nose.
It is a good college, so maybe that's why.
Too academically sound.
Yeah, they're not degenerates like the rest of us.
Fair.
Okay, boy, I feel like there's kind of a big drop off in my mind, but we're only through three picks. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna stick with Michigan, but go to their next door neighbor. I'm gonna go Madison, Wisconsin.
That was my next pick. That was my next
good.
Pick.
It means it's a good one.
Yep.
I actually have been there for 24 hours, and it was in the middle of the summer, and it was still rocking. It was a really cool place.
The bar scene there is just incredible.
Yep.
Like, that's a great college town.
Only thing is, so cold all the time.
Yeah,
when I was there, it was 76 degrees, and this guy's like, yeah, we're almost approaching record temperatures. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding
it's
me.
August.
Oh my god.
Speaking of weather, I'm going to go to the good weather here, and I will say, I can confidently say, Speaking of party schools, this is the only school I can say for sure parties harder than CU, and it's ASU.
Tempe. I was on my list.
Tempe's a good one.
Always Weather's always weather. Good. Yeah. Yep.
Well, except for the 2 months of the year that you're not at school.
Right.
So, yeah, you're right.
We talked about this the other day. Like, it's great. One of my best friends went there when I was in school. So, like, I used to go – I used to just – their spring break would be 1 week before my spring break. Perfect. So I would just ditch a week of classes and go to their spring break and then go to my spring break. And like theirs was insane. I've told this. I don't know if I've ever told this story on this is when I knew they partied harder than CU.
Do we need earmuffs for the kids out
no,
there?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I went to a party. You've heard of Edward 40 hands,
of course,
right?
Yes.
One 40 on each hand, duct tape. You can't take them off until you're done. Well, when I was there, two girls at this party did Edward Captain hands. But each of them put one hand duct tape onto a full handle of Captain.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, okay, they're built a little bit different.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I would say so.
I think they survived, though, so that's a win.
Is the other hand like Coke or something? Like
no, and like it was really awkward for them to try and drink it. But it was a spectacle.
Yeah, wow.
I bet it was.
All right, am I up here?
Yep.
Back-to-back
man,
picks.
You guys, honestly, those were my two next picks. The both picks that you guys picked were my, and the first two were also ones I had on my board. I'm trying to decide. I know, I'm trying to decide. And some of mine are going to be way, like, you guys are going to be like, are you serious? Like, I'm thinking, like, Oxford, Mississippi, maybe.
That's a good one.
There's a school in Florida. Right? I'm thinking, yeah, Ole Miss. I think I'm going to roll with Oxford. Mm-hmm. It is by far the best tailgating scene, and I know that doesn't really I don't know if that affects college town, like your definition, but like the tailgating scene is unquestionably the best I've ever seen. Like the Grove, I think is what they call it, is unbelievable. So I'm gonna, like, I don't really care much for the state of Mississippi, like there's not a whole lot to do there, but Oxford is unbelievable and it's beautiful out there, so I'm going to go with Oxford. I'm going to be very SEC heavy.
I was going to say, you got to be stoked about your move to the SEC.
I
would say that tailgating is one of like my top five passions in life. So I've always wanted to go to Oxford because that's what everyone says.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to get down to the SEC country.
Yep, I really do.
Now you're back.
Oh, it's my turn
you're
again.
You're up again. Another SEC school? You want me to name
No,
them
I won't
or?
Go. I have a couple in my back pocket for SEC. I'm going to go Big 12. And again, this is another underrated one. I think we talked a little bit about it before. Ames, Iowa. Ames, Iowa.
So you think Ames is the best in the Big 12?
I think it is. I've been to every
college town in Iowa.
It is.
Oh, here we go.
I'll say because I don't know college towns. I looked at a lot of lists online. Ames was top five in nearly every single one.
Ames, look, here's the thing about Ames. The people are fantastic. The fan base is amazing. The bar scene is probably one of the best in the Big 12. And you can't really pick Austin. Like, I was thinking, is Austin really a college town?
Right.
Like, I don't know if you guys have ever been to Austin, but it's a great city. Like, I would love to go to school there. But you can't really say it's a college town.
Right.
So that would probably be my pick number one. But, like, Ames is incredible. The people are great. The city is fantastic. It's a very small city. It's not too far from Des Moines. So if you want to go to Des Moines, it's not too bad of a
drive.
Don't
go to Des Moines.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like Des Moines.
Des Moines okay. But Ames is awesome. The bar scene's great. The people are awesome. And I like Iowa State's vibe. Like, I just like that school's vibe. And I've been to every single city in the Big 12, and I can confidently say Ames is right up there.
We've got a lot. There's a weird crossover between Iowa fans and Broncos fans. I don't know why. I don't notice a lot with Iowa State fans, but I feel like they're going to be upset over this.
Probably. But that's okay, because Iowa City, that's where Iowa is, right? Iowa City? Is that right? Yeah. It's okay.
It's okay. All right. There we go. Yeah.
It's all right. Yeah. I mean, Big Ten has some great college towns. I wouldn't say Iowa City's up there as one of the best. Like, Bloomington, Columbus, Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
I mean, like, those are all great college towns. I wouldn't say Iowa City.
I
don't know.
I haven't been to either, so I can't say.
Iowa don't know.
I've been to Des Moines, though, and I was like, this is nice. all right. I'm sticking true to my board here again. This is the college town with the best college bars I've been to. Just like every bar is like a true college bar. I don't even know necessarily how you define like what exactly makes a true college bar, but when you see one, you know it. And like they've got like 75-cent beers, just stuff like that. Lawrence, Kansas. I think that's the best college town in the Big 12.
It's okay.
But I haven't been to
Ames. It's okay. Ames is better. Ames is better. But, I mean, again, Lawrence was on my list, like, towards the end. So, I don't hate the pick. Because the Big 12, too, like, have you ever been to Manhattan, Kansas, where Kansas State is?
It's terrible.
It's there's nothing. they have a cool, like, bar scene, Aggieville. If you've ever been, like, that's the place to go. But, like, everything else sucks. Lawrence, there's some cool stuff.
And it just, like, it has that college town feel. As soon as you drive into town, like, everything has a Jayhawk on it. It's Jayhawk liquors and Jayhawk burgers and everything. Like,
that's how Ames is. That's how Ames is. Yeah. It's very similar.
All right. I'm up now, and I've never been here, but I've heard the town is awesome. I'm going to go Clemson.
Really?
Have either of you ever been there?
No, I have not.
Clemson, South Carolina. Now, it probably helps that their campus is beautiful.
Yeah.
But that's part of the town, so I'm going to go Clemson, South Carolina. I've heard it's an absolute nightmare to get to. You fly in somewhere, and it's like a five-hour drive, so that's why people haven't been there. It's a hidden gem. Just take my word on it. The internet tells me it's really cool.
All right. Well, I'll take your word on it. You're back-to-back.
Oh, back-to-back. Okay, I have to... I want to make sure I get this one. So I'm going to go Tuscaloosa here. I have been to Tuscaloosa, and it's way cool. The city that surrounds it, I mean, the bars just go right up to the stadium, and it's such a cool place. I mean, walking down and in the alleys, people just leave their Yeti coolers. And I'm like, this is like, you know, hundreds of dollars, but people just leave them. They have their little stickers on them to identify that it's theirs. It was so different than anything I've seen here in a really cool town.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been there. Now, is Auburn, what city is Auburn in? Because
it's Auburn.
It is
Auburn, yeah.
Okay, I didn't. I knew University of Alabama, and then I knew Auburn is like right there next to it. So you get two schools in one, right?
That is true. I'm sure if you're going to one, you can just pick whatever's having the best party.
Yes, yeah. When you have, what's the tree that Auburn does?
Yeah.
Something,
tumor? Something like that, yeah.
And didn't someone... poison it?
Yes,
and
yes.
They got, like,
that's what's
so
great about college football, right?
Yes.
I know this is a very, like, professional NFL, you know, type podcast, but college football, you can't beat poisoning your rival's tree.
No, I mean, college football is my first love.
Yeah.
Truly. I, because of all that stuff, the pageantry and the rivalries and all that good stuff. I talked about weather. Weather's big for me when it comes to these places. So I'm going to keep going with another place that has great weather. I'm going, and this is tough because it's not really a college town, but the college part of this town is a college town, San Diego State.
Yeah.
That is a tough, you might get some pushback on that. That's like picking Austin.
I think Austin's now on the table.
Austin's a college town.
Is it? I don't think it is.
I think it's
when
its
you
own
go there, like
six,
everything you, is burnt orange.
If you're going to pick Austin, you have to say specifically 6th Street. Like 6th Street, I don't know if you've ever been to Austin, but that's like the one street that you have to go to. Then you could claim 6th Street is a college town, but Austin itself is not. It's a city. It's not a college town.
But when you go, like, if you go to a game at San Diego State's campus, like, you feel like you're in a college town. It's like Boulder. You got to get up to the hill before it starts to feel.
Does that mean you can
town.
Pick like SMU and Dallas or like?
Right, right.
But
see,
you're not,
that's what
but
it
you're
opens.
Not getting
it opens those.
Fort Worth and TCU. Like,
you're not getting that city. You're getting the campus.
Yeah.
Mm, so this is a campus draft now.
I don't know. One thing I'll say about this as well, San Diego, it's definitely not like a pro sports town.
That's true.
That's for sure. I mean, multiple teams have moved out of there. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's a beach
town. Look, you just—it's okay. You lost the draft. That's fine. me and Zach will take this.
There we go. And I feel good with Fayetteville being your number one overall pick. So thank you for that.
I'm telling you, a lot of people are going to back me on that one. A lot of people are going to back me on Fayetteville.
All right,
we'll throw this out on Twitter and we'll see.
Yeah. So is it my turn?
It's your turn.
Back-to-back picks.
I guess you can go Austin.
Well, I think I'm gonna. I'm not. That's cheating. That's like picking Los Angeles for USC, which, by the way, is not a good. I would not want to live in Los Angeles.
I actually thought that's where you were going. I thought you were going to go USC.
No, I don't. Those campuses kind of suck, in my opinion.
Berkeley, that would be maybe.
Berkeley counts.
I've never been there, but I like Tallahassee.
That's your secret Florida one.
That's my Florida one. I'm thinking Tallahassee here. I've actually never been there, but I've heard it's a blast.
Yeah, I have as well.
So I'm going to go with Tallahassee for Florida State.
Okay, I love it.
And I've got to pick a second one. I feel like people
No, you're done. You're done.
Oh, I'm done?
Round. Yeah.
Okay.
Are you? Oh, no, never mind. Yes, it's yes. One more. I'm sorry.
I feel like, I love Norman, Oklahoma. I love it to death. And it's probably not in the top 30 probably in college, but people will crucify me if I do not pick them here.
Smart.
So I'm going to take Norman. And I will say Norman is it's a great call. Like you said earlier, Ryan, there's really not a bad college town. I think Norman is in that range of just above average, maybe. The bar scene's great. The location, you're 30 minutes from Oklahoma City, if that. So you can go to a big city. Yeah. It's the biggest city in Oklahoma. So you can go do things down there. And it's a good atmosphere. The campus is gorgeous. So I'm going to have to go with Norman, Oklahoma.
Boy, you did not sell your final pick very well.
I know, I did not.
Above average one. I appreciate that.
My OU friends are going to be like, really, dude? You're bashing Oklahoma that bad?
No, so they're just going to see the graphic and be like, you took them in the last round.
Right. And then they're going to see Ryan, Boulder number one overall pick.
But Boulder's an easy number one pick. I almost took it, but I was like, I got to let Ryan have it. That's his place. But Boulder had to be.
You got to get you more cutthroat.
Yeah, Boulder's like the Joe Burrow of the NFL draft, right? Like, it's the no-brainer pick. You know,
it's true.
Even if you didn't go there, everybody loves Boulder.
That is true.
You just keep saying this stuff, keeps putting a smile on Ryan's face.
I'm just telling you, though, you guys are giving Fayetteville a hard time.
It's a fantastic college town. So under the radar, Kale can't even spell it.
It's Noah Fantville. Yes. Graphic.
It's like Lafayette and then Ville.
Well, that did not help me at all.
There's an T-T-E. E in there somewhere.
Fayatte, I think.
Oh, my goodness.
Honestly, I couldn't tell you. I don't think there's two T's. I think there's only one T.
No, wait. That's definitely wrong.
Oh, no, yeah.
No, that's the Dr. Pepper commercial, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, Fayetteville.
Oh, yes, of course.
I think the letter after the Y is an E.
This is...
That looks right to me.
Close enough.
None of them look right to me. Yes. You just get the state of Arkansas. Just go with Arkansas.
There we go. Man, I've been trying to only pick ones that I've been to here. And I also tried
that as well. I was like, I don't want to pick somewhere that I've never really been.
You guys are better than me.
Yeah.
Only pick places I haven't been.
That's because you don't have a college football team that you follow around the country.
It's true.
I will say, as I'm waiting here, there are other ones on my list. Knoxville, I think, is fantastic in Tennessee.
Keep giving them. I need some more ideas.
Gainesville, Florida, I've never been to. I've heard decent things.
Big stadium.
I'm thinking SEC here. Yeah. Where's South Carolina?
Columbia?
Columbia?
Yeah.
I've never been there.
What do you think of College Station?
Well, Texas A&M is a cult, so I can't support them.
Yeah, as College a cult. Station, I've been there.
I've heard it's kind of weird.
It's weird.
It's weird. Okay, good
really
to know.
It's a
weird
vibe. Town, which okay. Yeah. Doesn't yeah, fit the doesn't name. Fit
you can't walk on the grass there on campus. It's like a big...
Wow.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're not allowed to walk on the
grass. Interesting. That's like in my courtyard right now. Too many dogs peed on the grass, so now no one can walk on the grass. Okay, what about Chapel Hill?
Oh, that's one. I missed that one. That would have been a good one.
I don't know anything about it.
Good.
I've heard it's beautiful.
You'd be lying to yourself.
I've heard it's beautiful.
No. I said that, Kale. Hold off.
I'm going to stay in the Pac-12 here, go to a place that a lot of my friends went, had nothing but good things to say about it. Haven't been, so I don't know, but I'll take a chance on my buddies here and go with Eugene.
I'm shocked you haven't been there.
Yeah. I've never been to the Pacific Northwest at all.
Wow.
Eugene's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Super green.
Yes.
And that's why I'm going to go with Chapel Hill. I know the campus is beautiful. Don't know much about the city, but.
Well, and the vibe there, the students love their sports there. And so it's a basketball city and it's a cool place.
And that's kind of what I think Eugene has going for it is at least when I was in high school, that was Oregon had just got cool. They had all the uniforms and all that stuff.
Yep.
And so everyone that went there was going there because of the sports.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think that created a really cool dynamic.
Yeah. Eugene, at least when I was in high school, was viewed as the out of state Boulder
yes.
with really good sports.
Yep. We didn't have the good sports.
And just the dopest gear, because that's when they were turning out awesome gear. And it's crazy how good gear will get you, will get kids to a school.
What are the comments saying? Any big omissions? Zach was supposed to be the
Columbus. Columbus should have been on there. I agree. Columbus is up there.
People not mad about Flagstaff.
What is that? NAU?
Yeah, yeah. The Lumberjacks? Actually, to give a shout out to Fort Collins, they were on many of these lists. Now,
they were.
To be fair, Boulder was always top five, and Fort Collins was in the back end, though. I was impressed.
I will say, total College Town energy when you go there.
Fort Collins?
I respect about it.
Yeah. Yeah, and especially for being more of a spread out town at times.
Yeah.
Because I think of, what Boulder has is it's so compact. You did say you have to go a little ways, but it's not that far to get to Pearl Street and stuff.
No, once you get to central Boulder, right, you're in the college town. Right. But, Boulder expands out pretty far.
That's true. But it still feels small.
Columbus is a huge L, guys. We missed on that one. It was on my list, too, but I probably should have picked it over Norman. But I had to roll with my Sooners, you know.
I have some internal bias against the Big Ten that I don't really know where it comes from. I just, maybe it's because Nebraska plays in it now.
Yeah, the Big Ten. I also don't like the Big Ten. Yeah. So
and all of those places, I guess I'm just big on weather. All of those places, the weather is very meh at best.
That's fair. That's fair. You know what? What if you want to add Columbus? We'll let you change Fayetteville out for Columbus.
No. Fayetteville. Okay. I'm telling you, Fayetteville is one of the best. It's
I like that. You stuck true to your board, and got going to get destroyed on Twitter for it.
We'll see. Maybe.
I don't think so. Maybe. I think you guys are going to be surprised that people are like, "Yeah, Fayetteville is up there."
Also, he's going to get all of his Norman people.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
We'll see what happens. This has been fun. George, thank you so much for joining us. Happy Friday, everyone. Come hang out with us at the DNVR bar tomorrow. It's going to be insane. We'll have a blast. We'll see you then, and go Hawks.
I'll take you back one last time down the cotton.